Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you guys with us today. Welcome to all of you gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables out there. Wow, we've got a great show lined up for you today, folks. A lot going on, and we've got some great guests. Our good friend Sarah Carter is going to be here a little bit later on in the program. Congressman Ken Buck is going to drop by as well. We had extended an invitation to Congressman Matt Gaetz to come onto this program, and we reached out to his people last night after that Tucker Carlson interview. And something is very, very odd about Congressman Gaetz. And we're going to get into that in just a little while. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstarnes.com. The live show blog is up and running. We have links to all sorts of great stories out there, including a Supreme Court case that is currently underway, being heard up in Washington, D.C., regarding whether or not student athletes should be compensated for their performance. So if you have a member of the Tennessee Volunteers, if they are playing football, they should be paid. They should get some sort of a compensation package other than whatever kind of a scholarship they're getting. So anyway, the Supreme Court is currently hearing arguments. And very interestingly, it's not going well for the NCAA. Now, the NCAA says, well, we should not have to pay these athletes. They are student athletes. They don't deserve any money. They should be happy with the education they're getting. Meanwhile, these universities and colleges are getting billions and billions and billions of dollars. So what's fascinating about the Supreme Court argument is that Justice Sam Alito is actually siding with the college athletes. And by the way, so is Justice Clarence Thomas. So we're talking about two of the most conservative justices on the bench, and they're not taking what the NCAA is trying to sell today. This idea that if you are an amateur athlete, you should not get any money. And again, these colleges, not only are they making money on ticket sales, not only are they making money on the TV and the radio contracts, but they're also making money off of these players' name and their images and their likeness. Justice, I want to read this to you. This is from Justice Sam Alito, and I'm fascinated by this. I'm not a big professional sports fan. I pretty much, once they started taking a knee, I just turned it off. But I used to be a big NFL fan. Loved the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints. But I've, even long before that, I was a huge college football fan. And why is my staff booing me right now? No, I'm a huge football fan. And I love the Tennessee Volunteers. That's my college jam, if you will. So anyway, Justice Alito says this. Let me put on the table some of what is said by those who challenge your idea of amateurism. The briefs that are submitted in support of the respondents paint a pretty stark picture, and they argue that colleges with powerhouse football and basketball programs are really exploiting the students they recruit. And again, this is coming from the conservative justices, and it's a fair point. They have programs that bring in billions of dollars, as Justice Thomas mentioned. This money funds enormous salaries for coaches and others in huge athletic departments. But the athletes themselves have a pretty hard life, and this is true. Justice Alito goes on to say they face training requirements that leave little time or energy for study, constant pressure to put sports above study, pressure to drop out of hard majors and hard classes, really shockingly, graduation rates, only a tiny percentage ever go on to make any money in professional sports. So the argument is they are recruited, they're used up, and then they're cast aside without even a college degree. So they say, how can this be defended in the name of amateurism? So I am curious, should college athletes receive some sort of compensation? Should the University of Tennessee, should the Ohio State Buckeyes, should Penn State, should Oklahoma, should these massive football powerhouses, should they be required to fork over money and support these players? Or is it just enough to get a free education, a college degree? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I'm fascinated by this, and it, based upon what I am hearing right now, it looks as though the justices are siding with the athletes, and this could be good news for future college athletes. I'm not sure what this means for the NCAA. But it's a fair argument. If you're paying your head football coach $1-3 million a year, and you've got, you know, these football players and they're grabbing lunch out of the vending machine, I mean, come on. We'll see how that plays out. So look, I want to talk about this Matt Gaetz thing, and I'm with Tucker Carlson. This is weird, just really weird. Now, I believe, and I don't care if you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, you are innocent until proven guilty. Nobody's been arrested here. Nobody's been charged with the crime. A lot of people are under investigation by the FBI. You know who's not under investigation by the FBI? Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who, by the way, has had how many women? What is it? 180? No, I'm sorry. Nine women coming out and making accusations, some of which are actually on tape or have been photographed. So at least in the case of Cuomo, there's photographic evidence. You actually have women coming out and saying they have been abused by the governor. And yet the mainstream media gives Cuomo, the brother of Fredo over at CNN, the most profane name in news, they give that guy a pass. It's a fascinating study on what the mainstream media considers to be important. So what we're watching now is virtue signaling. Now, let's get this right out of the gate. If you're a grown man, you shouldn't be dating a 17-year-old. Period. It's creepy, it's disgusting, and it's sick. Shame on you. So now that we have that out of the way, we don't know what happened. We don't know the allegations that have been come. We just know they're allegations. That's all we know. But based on what I saw last night on Tucker Carlson, I smell something here. Something is not quite right. And it's all in the verbiage. You got these guys, these politicians, and the Republicans do it just as bad as the Democrats do. They play around with the words. And then Matt Gaetz tried to put all of this on Tucker Carlson. So Carlson, he was like, dude, this is one of the weirdest conversations I've ever had. Let's listen.
If you just saw a Matt Gaetz interview, that was one of the weirdest interviews I've ever conducted. That story just appeared in the news a couple of hours ago. And on the certainty that there's always more than you read in the newspaper, we immediately called Matt Gaetz and asked him to come on and tell us more, which, as you saw, he did. I don't think that clarified much, but it certainly showed this is a deeply interesting story, and we'll be following it. Don't quite understand it, but we'll bring you more when we find out.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. And we're going to play some more audio later on in the show here. But the issue I have with Matt Gaetz is that he does have a history of of this kind of behavior, dating a lot of women. Nothing wrong with that. But there have been a lot of hushed stories about Matt Gaetz in Washington, D.C. But we're not gonna talk about rumor. We're gonna talk about fact. And the fact is, the allegations came out. Matt Gaetz not only responded to the allegations, he named a name of the person he said was extorting his family And Gates comes from a very wealthy family. And Gates said that he did not travel with a 17-year-old. Now, the reason why Gates would not come on this program, and I'm just, this is somewhat a slight speculation, but I want to explain it. We ask tough questions here on this program. There is a very popular Southern senator who was a longtime guest on this show. That senator has not been on the program since I criticized that senator for going against a conservative principle. They're very thin-skinned, these lawmakers up on Capitol Hill, so they refused to come back on the program. There was the governor of South Dakota who got very upset because I called her out. Very upset. But we just call it like it is here. And I think one of the reasons that Matt Gaetz refused to come on this program is because I would have asked him some pretty pointed questions and questions that need to be addressed. For example, Congressman, as a 38, a 39-year-old, are you dating or have you ever dated women that are 17, 18 years old? By the way, age of consent in Florida is 18 years old. So if this was a 17-year-old, that's going to be a problem. But I got to tell you, Congressman Gates represents the Redneck Riviera. That's what we call the panhandle of Florida in the Deep South. And I'm telling you, the people of that congressional district are not going to tolerate that kind of behavior. One quick story before we go to break, and we're going to open up the phone lines here. We had Congressman Gates on my program a few years ago, and I made a passing reference to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And you know what he said in response to that? Yeah, I'd date her. I'd go out with her. I'm like, wait, what? Where did that come from? I'm just telling you, there, something's not right about this. And Tucker's right. This is weird, man. Weird.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today, ladies and gentlemen, as we make our way through one of the most important weeks in all of Christianity. Good Friday coming up, but what happens on Sunday is even better. And hope you and your family are going to have a great Easter weekend. We are going to be live Friday on our Good Friday edition of the program. And we're going to have a great time talking with our good friend, Pastor Robert Jeffers. That's coming up Friday on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, a lot of folks wanting to weigh in here on this NCAA story, as well as the news coming out of Washington late last night, this scandal involving Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida. Let's go to the state of Arkansas. Ron, listening to us on KARN. Hey, Ron, what's on your mind today?
Todd, how you doing?
You know, Ron, I'm doing you can call me Doc anytime. You're talking, of course, about Doc Washburn, who's the afternoon host there on KARN and a great American patriot.
He's my hero, too. Both of y'all are my heroes. But here's what I want to say. I went to the University of Arkansas back in the 80s. And some of those players went around and spoke at different avenues. If they're popular enough to make a little money off the side, not playing, not in the game, but if they're popular enough to sign autographs, just like rock stars and anything else, hey, so be it. But they do get paid. If you're a University of Arkansas football player, you're God. You're going to get a job no matter you get enough. And having said that, I also want to chime in on Matt, whatever his name is.
Congressman Matt Gaetz. Congressman Matt Gaetz out of Florida.
If he had a affair with a woman that's younger than 18, then he needs to be called on the carpet.
Lock him up.
I don't know what it is. I don't know the truth, but he really needs to be called on that. anyway.
Ron, on this particular issue, when you campaign as a devout person of faith and you hold yourself up, you know, as, you know, someone who embraces family values, and you turn around and you do something like this, there's a price to pay for that. But again, right now, we just know that there are allegations, and that's all we know. And I'm not going to cast judgment based on an allegation coming out of the New York Times, because we all know that the New York Times is full of fake news. Ron, thanks for the call. Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, was asked about Congressman Gates just a few moments ago. Here's what he had to say. Cut number 7, please.
Also breaking news yesterday, Leader McCarthy, about Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida. And you've been very vocal that Congressman Eric Swalwell should be stripped of his ability to serve on the Intel Committee because of a reported relationship with a Chinese spy. He serves on the National Security Committee. You say that's a national security threat on the Intel Committee. So by that same logic, will you take any action to remove Matt Gaetz from the Judiciary Committee while he's under investigation by the DOJ over whether he had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old and paid for her to travel with him? That's something he denies, but that would be a violation of federal sex trafficking laws.
Look, I haven't heard from DOJ. I haven't been able to talk to Matt Gaetz yet. I just read the story. Those are serious implications. If it comes out to be true, yes, we would remove him if that was the case. But right now, as Matt Gaetz says, this is not true, and we don't have any information. So let's get all the information.
Okay, that's a load of hooey right there, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first time I heard what Kevin McCarthy had to say. I heard it with my ears the same time you heard it with your ears. And my earlobes are tingling right now, and that's because I don't believe what he just said. You're telling me that one of the highest profile members of the Republican conference goes on national television last night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and Kevin McCarthy is telling us at whatever time it is right now, whenever the Dana Perino show airs. So we've gone almost 12 hours, and he has not had a conversation with Congressman Gaetz about all of this. He hasn't called up Congressman Gaetz and said, hey, what the heck are you doing with the teenagers? You're telling me that he hasn't had that kind of a conversation? If not, then why is he the minority leader? I would expect the minority leader of the Republican Party to get Matt Gaetz, I don't care if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and tell him to get his butt down to my office so that we can have a come to Jesus minute. But Kevin McCarthy says, well, you know, I just read what I read in the newspapers. That's all I know. Anyway, we're going to play some of this audio here. Congressman Matt Gaetz, cut number 1.
Congressman, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it. So this is obviously a serious allegation. Tell us what the truth is from your perspective.
It is a horrible allegation, and it is a lie. The New York Times is running a story that I have traveled with a 17-year-old woman, and that is verifiably false. People can look at my travel records and see that that is not the case. What is happening is an extortion of me and my family involving a former Department of Justice official. On March 16th, my father got a text message demanding a meeting wherein a person demanded $25 million in exchange for making horrible sex trafficking allegations against me go away. Our family was so troubled by that, we went to the local FBI. And the FBI and the Department of Justice were so concerned about this attempted extortion of a member of Congress that they asked my dad to wear a wire, which he did with the former Department of Justice official. Tonight, I am demanding that the Department of Justice and the FBI release the audio recordings that were made under their supervision and at their direction, which will prove my innocence and that will show that these allegations aren't true. They're merely intended to try to bleed my family out of money.
And so he says this is an extortion attempt. A former DOJ attorney, the DOJ attorney, David McGee is this guy's name. He works for a law firm now. He's denying the charges. So this is a very simple thing to clear up here. Gaetz says they've got the proof. They've got the evidence. His father was wearing a wire. So there you go. This should be easy to prove, lickety-split. But the idea that Matt Gaetz was very careful in his language here and said that he did not travel with a 17-year-old. He did not travel with a 17-year-old. And, of course, Tucker Carlson, got to tell you, I like Tucker a lot, but he's not an investigative journalist. And Tucker should have been prepared for this interview. There should have been a heck of a lot more pushback on this interview. Cut number two.
I believe we are in an era of our politics now, Tucker, where people are smeared to try to take them out of the conversation. I'm not the only person on screen right now who's been falsely accused of a terrible sex act. You were accused of something that you did not do, and so you know what this feels like. You know the pain it can bring to your family, and you know how it just puts people on defense when you're accused of something so salacious and awful, but it did not happen. It is not true.
So Tucker was like, wait. What's wrong with you? And so look, Tucker Carlson, years ago, some crazy lunatic mental case made accusations against Tucker. He'd never met the woman, never seen the woman. I mean, it was just nothing. So for Matt Gaetz to bring this up last night, that was weird. Just very, very odd. So all I'm just going to agree with Tucker here and say this is one of the weirdest conversations I have ever seen on television last night. I just don't get it.
You're listening to Todd Starnes. From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hello, America. Man, this has been a weird day. We've talked about, Demi Lovato going pansexual. She's got a thing for cast iron skillets. We've been talking about Teletubbies and this crazy interview that Congressman Matt Gaetz did yesterday on Tucker Carlson's show. It's just one of those days. What are you going to do? Welcome to the program. I'm Todd Starnes. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, one of the things I appreciate about Kevin McCarthy as the minority leader, even though I didn't believe what he had to say about this controversy, I think there's more to it that maybe he's not talking about. But one of the things I do respect is he said that if the allegations are true, then Gaetz is going to get booted from his committee assignments. That's a whole heck of a lot more than the Democrats do when they turn a blind eye to people like Eric Swalwell, who actually had relations, allegedly, with a Chinese spy. And the Democrats turn a blind eye to that. Well, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good to have with us from the great state of Georgia, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Congresswoman, hope you're doing good today.
Hey, Todd, I heard this lead-in, and I can't help but agree with you. It's a weird day. It just is a weird day. There's a lot of things going on, but there's much bigger things going on. You've got Joe Biden introducing the infrastructure bill, which is the Green New Deal, but yet AOC is not happy with it. She says it's not enough climate justice and Green New Deal in the infrastructure bill. And you've got the border wide open, and you would think AOC would be down there at the border crying about all the kids in the cages that Joe Biden is allowing to come in and causing to come in by inviting the whole world here. You've got San Francisco school teachers that are shutting down, have kept schools shut down, but yet they're willing to teach illegal children in-person schooling. And then you've got this crazy thing coming out called vaccine passports and the idea that they're going to force people to take COVID vaccines and prove it, but yet you don't, Democrats don't want you to show an ID to vote. So we're living in a time where what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right, and everything seems completely upside down.
You know what, you know, to that point about the vaccine passports, and I know you got some blowback over the Mark of the Beast comment, but honestly, I mean, that's a pretty good description. I mean, without this vaccine passport, you won't be able to go to the grocery store. You won't be able to go to the airport. Won't be able to get in to see a doctor. That sounds a lot like the Book of Revelation to me.
Yes, it does to me, and that's why I posed that question. When the Bible describes the mark of the beast as something that allows you to buy and sell, and you have to give in to the government or give in to the Antichrist in that day in order to receive that mark, and it controls your ability to buy and sell. Well, I just compared the two because the vaccine passport, the ideas that have been proposed, is just as you said. It will control if you can travel, fly on an airplane, go in certain stores, go into events, sports games, movie theaters, concerts, school perhaps. It will control if this becomes a law or if it just becomes mandates in most places, like we've seen masks and shutdowns, then it will control people's lives on how they're allowed to buy and sell. But yet it will be all in the name of a vaccine, which is so odd because no one wants anyone to die of COVID. My goodness, it's a terrible thing. But they ignore the fact that most people have a survival rate of over 99%. And most people under the age of 65, their own immune systems are strong enough to help them survive COVID. And many people have COVID and don't even know they've had COVID. And it's just insanity, absolute insanity. And so I made that comparison because it unfortunately, in a very scary way, it seemed right.
You know, Congresswoman, I love what Jim Jordan asked, and it's a pretty valid point. Are you going to have to show your vaccine passport to vote?
Yeah, that's what we've all been, you know, we're laughing about it, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you put your face in your palm because they're pitching a fit because they're saying it's racist even to require people to show an ID to vote, but yet they're going to demand that everyone gets a vaccine in order to buy and sell. So, yeah, it's too much. Everything is too much, and it's totally out of control, and it's violating people's individual liberties and just violating our rights and our freedoms.
I would like for you, Congresswoman, to weigh in on this alleged scandal involving Congressman Matt Gaetz, the New York Times, and I just got to tell you, I don't trust anything the New York Times writes, period. But Congressman Gaetz last night coming out on Tucker Carlson. And like Tucker said, it's one of the weirdest conversations he's ever had, and Tucker pushed back a time or two. What's your take on this? Have you had a chance to talk to Congressman Gaetz?
I haven't talked to him, but I will tell you from my own experience and you know, what you see coming from the media, what they put in headlines, and then the way they share information to where it's rumors is very, very concerning to me. I've been a victim of that for the past few months now, and we saw Russian collusion conspiracy lies spread all over, coming straight out of the New York Times and much of the mainstream media. And so I don't put a lot of stock into something unless there's proof, and there's no proof that has been shown that I have seen for Matt Gaetz doing what they're alleging that he did. And Matt Gaetz says none of it's true, and he's asking for the Department of Justice to release these tapes that supposedly, prove that it's not true, and then the Department of Justice is not doing that. Well, the Department of Justice didn't do anything about the Russian collusion conspiracy lies either, and no one was ever held accountable and has yet been held accountable for that. I really don't have much interest in this story. I think it looks like a smear campaign. And I know there was an odd interview, but I think if Matt Gaetz is being accused of doing something as bad and embarrassing as that sounds, and he didn't do it, well, you know, it may be an uncomfortable thing for him to talk about it. So I can't defend him in that manner, but I don't necessarily buy this story until there's actual proof out there saying that it happened, or this 17-year-old young woman comes forward and says it happens. And if that's the case, then that's a whole different story.
Yes.
Right now, it looks like a big smear campaign on a strong conservative.
Congresswoman, we're going to leave it there. We always appreciate you coming on the program, and we look forward to getting you back on the show soon.
Okay, thanks so much, Todd. Have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. And she's got some, she made some fair points here. But can we just talk about this interview for a moment with Matt Gaetz? And again, I don't trust the mainstream media. They're all a bunch of liars and leftists. And they will try to smear anybody, and they will use fake news, and they will use actual lies to try and take down conservatives. I've seen them do it time and time again. Just look at what they did to President Trump. That being said, last night, I'm not sure Matt Gaetz helped his cause. Maybe he thought that this was going to be the way to do it, but I don't think it worked. What he should have here, this is my advice to Congressman Gaetz. Just shut up. Get yourself an attorney. Let the attorneys do the talking. Let them handle this. You got a PR team, let them handle it. If you did it, resign, apologize, go to some sort of a clinic and get help. If you didn't do it, your name's going to be cleared, and there's going to be hell to pay over at the New York Times for these reporters who wrote this fake news story. So it's one of two things. He either did it or he didn't do it. I mean, and we don't know, because we don't have any evidence. We haven't seen the evidence. The Justice Department, it's controlled by the deep state swamp. You can't trust those people. The FBI, you can't trust the FBI to keep you safe in a supermarket in Colorado. That being said, had Matt Gaetz not gone on Tucker Carlson's show last night, I think I would be probably more vocal in my defense of Matt Gaetz. But what I saw last night, that was just weird. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
So I became eligible on Monday. I haven't had it yet, but I am planning on doing it this week. I'm not sure we're going to do it on camera. I mean, we'll see. I mean, if you guys want a gun show, maybe we could do it, but probably better off not. And so we're looking forward to.
Good for you. That's Congressman Ron, or Governor Ron DeSantis. My apologies. Governor Ron DeSantis out of Florida, they were asking him if he was going to get the China virus shot on camera. And talking about maybe taking off the shirt and seeing the big guns. You got to love that guy. All right, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Sarah Carter, sarahacarter.com, the website. You see her on Fox News Channel just about every night now. Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
It's going great, Todd, especially since I'm in Governor Ron DeSantis' state for a little while. Taking a little break with my family, the great state of Florida. And I got to tell you, this is a different time for America. I mean, it really is. I'm talking to people both in this beautiful state and, you know, across the country. I spent a lot of time on the border the last month. And this is a really tough time for a lot of Americans. And now I see why all the planes were packed heading to Florida. It's like the free state of Florida.
No doubt about that. I mean, and look, we've got a lot of them coming to Tennessee as well, but we don't want too many. We'd like for them to take care of the problem in their state. So.
Oh, and God bless the state of Tennessee, right? God bless you guys, what you've been through in Nashville. My heart goes out to you and lots of prayers, and what a great state as well. I don't want to take anything away from the people of Tennessee. Great state, great Senator Marsha Blackburn. I love her. I've been on her podcast a number of times, and of course the great state of Texas, which I just returned from.
You know, Sarah, I got to tell you, I'm impressed. Hannity's sending you all over the place. I hope he's letting you fly first class.
No.
Cheap.
I'm a regular Joe. I'm not flying in first class. Trust me on that.
We got to talk to Hannity
it's okay.
about that.
Totally okay. I like it because it's what I'm used to, right? And just talking to people, and you know, and thankfully, most people are not terrified of human communication completely yet. So that's a good thing. That's a good sign.
I want to play some audio for you and get your response, because you have been down on the border quite a bit. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that the surge at the border is actually rooted in white supremacist philosophy. Let's take a listen.
They want to say, what about the surge? Well, first of all, just gut check, stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame. And that's a problem, because this is not a surge. These are children, and they are not insurgents, and we are not being invaded, which, by the way, is a white supremacist idea, philosophy, the idea that if an other is coming in the population, that this is like an invasion of who we are.
All right. What do you say to that, Sarah?
Well, it's absolutely stunning. First of all, I don't even know how she is representing anyone in this country in the legislature. She's lying and obviously trying to inflame racial tensions in this country. This is what the left does. I'm down at the border. I'm Latina also on my mother's side. I'm Cuban. I speak Spanish. I spent the majority of my career covering issues, national security issues on the border, as well as humanitarian issues on the border. It's a shame. It's a shame that they perpetuate a policy, a lie that allows these children to be abused by predators, human traffickers, drug cartels, a lot of the kids that are coming down unaccompanied. I mean, it varies in ages from, you know, as young as like 3 years old, actually being used by people that are not their parents or guardians, some of them, all the way up to teenage years, right? Some kids who basically have grown up on the streets of Honduras, on the streets of Guatemala in poverty, maybe have one parent or no parents, or, you know, their parents have fled or their father's fled. And a lot of them, you know, unfortunately, some of them have spent time in gangs. Others are just innocent children that are being used as political pawns in this game that I blame the Biden administration for. They opened up this door and they knew it. They knew it because they saw this happen in 2013 and 2014. So when I'm down there and I see these young children, and then I see the family units, no one's talking about this. There were over 100,000 people that entered the United States illegally through the southern border in February, over 100,000. They're expecting over 1 million. We're seeing over 120,000 is the expected number of unaccompanied minors coming into the United States this fiscal year. We have overcrowding in facilities. We have outbreaks of lice in the Donna facility. There are kids in there with COVID. They're expecting an outbreak of COVID. People are like sleeping on top of each other in this facility. And I can tell you why, because I've actually spoken to the people crossing as they are crossing. They believe that the Biden administration opened the gateway. They believe that the Biden administration gave them 100 days to arrive to the United States. They were told that this was going to be okay, that they would be allowed to stay. So the Biden administration needs to own up to it. It is a crisis. It is a humanitarian crisis and surge. It is a surge because we're seeing so many more people entering the U.S. It is also a national security problem for us, as well as a health crisis. So we have a trifecta of problems going on here. And if we don't take control of this and send out a message, not only to our southern partners and say, this is going to end, we have to stop this, not only for our people, but for your people and for our countries, then something really bad is going to happen. This is going to be exacerbated, and I don't know how it can get any worse.
You know, after watching all of this go down, and we've been hearing Joe Biden say it's your patriotic duty. If you really love America, you wear the face mask, you do the social distancing. And yet, Sarah, we've got all of these folks at the border that are not wearing face masks. They're not social distancing. They're being moved to other parts of the country. And you wonder, do these people, have they been tested for the China virus? Do they have the China virus? And if so, right, is the Biden administration actually depositing infected people into communities? And clearly they know. So are they trying to do this intentionally? I mean, are they trying to force another outbreak in the country?
I don't know. And I think we need to ask that question. I don't think they're trying to I would hope not. I would hope not. But I think they made such a colossal mistake. And the one thing we've seen with the left, the one thing we've seen, and maybe it's not a mistake. Maybe they're looking to, you know, maybe they want this surge. Maybe they want more people in this country. I've heard all kinds of, you know, stories from they need more voters or they think this is going to increase their voter base. No, it's not. These are human beings. These are people. If Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez actually cares, I mean, remember the big stunt she played? She went out there during the Trump administration crying by the fence, worried about these children. Well, what about now? I'm talking to these children. I go out there and I talk to young girls who've been raped by coyotes. I see evidence of that on these trails, you know, where children have left undergarments behind or where the, you know, police have taken down what they call rape trees. This it only benefits the criminal organization.
Unreal.
It does nothing. It does nothing for neither the migrants who would live here in the shadows because they would be illegal, or for the American people who, by the way, were told to be locked down, just like you said, Todd. We've got masks. We're told we can't stand 6 feet apart. We have to stand 6 feet apart from each other. But yet people are pouring in and nobody's being tested for the China virus, for the COVID virus, whatever anybody wants to call it. They're not getting the right testing. A lot of people are being let go. And this isn't just about Central America and Mexico and our southern neighbors who we love and who we want to have good relationships with. This is about people coming from all over the world. I saw people from Romania, people from India, people from Pakistan, families from Cuba. Let's talk about all those. The message is going loud and clear around the world, Todd, that our gates are wide open. And it's not just going to be good people coming in or infected people. It could be enemies. And we have to really think about that, especially when our Border Patrol's hands are tied behind their back. And we have law enforcement officials basically trying to fill in the gaps, and they just can't do it. There's just not enough manpower.
All right, Sarah, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. Enjoy the great state of Florida and get some rest.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Todd. And you have a great week, too.
All right, Sarah Carter, ladies and gentlemen. SarahAcarter.com is her website. And if you don't listen to the podcast, she does an amazing podcast as well. AOC says, all you people out there calling this a border invasion and a crisis and a surge, you folks are nothing more than white supremacists. This is the Todd Stern Show.